Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. I'm going to kind of sit for a minute. If you know me, I won't sit for long. But how's everybody doing? Did you overeat breakfast? Is anybody going to fall asleep on me? Rod said he was going to fall asleep. Okay. Well, I had some notes here somewhere. This is a new friend I want you to all meet. What's his name, Steve? Omega Supreme. How many know what this is? Transformer. A transformer, key word, transformer. We're going to talk about transformation this morning. And it would be helpful to have something that I could see my notes on. Can I get a stand? He got me. Yeah, so I'm just happy to be here. Is anybody else just happy to be here? Thank you. Thank you. If you know me also, you know I hardly ever use my notes. One problem with being a teacher is that I give my best sermons round about Thursday morning when I'm actually writing this thing. I'm really on fire. I'm just slamming away on that keyboard. And then when I get here, I never use the notes. But I think I'm going to try and follow them a little bit. I'm just going to start by, I want you to turn to your neighbor, somebody near you, and say to them, expect God to move. Tell them, I'm expecting God to move. Supernaturally. Now, don't get too carried away with that. We're going to work on that. So it seemed that, you know, the beginning of the year is always a good time to take stock and just kind of see where we are. And how many know that's getting hard to do? The way the world is today, it's kind of hard to know where we are. Everybody I know that's trying to make plans, business people, students trying to plan their life, people trying to plan their budget. Marty, we need help, you know, wherever you are. Yes, you need to take this finance class if you have any questions about that, because it's a really good one. And I think we're going to have some more interesting classes this year that are very practical, including some exciting stuff about food and how to really eat healthfully on very little money, because there's a lot of things you can learn to do yourself. So it's a neat year, and we're going to go after some practical things. But at the heart of why we're here, I mean, you wouldn't have to go to church to figure out your finances or to learn how to eat better, but you do have to go to church, or at least church is supposed to be the place where you can go to learn to live supernaturally. You know, if you reduce the Christian walk and the Christian life to its, you know, there are a lot of ways you can reduce it. There's no one way to reduce it. But one of the sort of practical ways to reduce it, it's about learning how to live supernaturally. Because there's really nothing natural about Jesus. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. How many of you were conceived by the Holy Spirit? That's a trick question. Natalie got it right. If you're born again, you were conceived by the Holy Spirit. But in the flesh, there's only one that gets that title. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He spoke under a supernatural authority empowered by the Holy Spirit. He did miracles. He did healings. They tried to take him down again and again. One of my favorites is when he first preaches in Luke 4, where he's quoting Isaiah 61, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's anointed me too, and he lists a whole bunch of things he's going to do. And everybody wanted to kill him because he was claiming to be God, you know, the Messiah. That was a sin. And it says he just walked out from them and they didn't touch him. If you've seen, how many are following the Chosen movie online? Have you seen the new Chosen, the latest one, where he's like, he's in the midst of them, and I'm wondering, how's he going to get out of this? And they're ready to take him. They're standing right there, and he says, my time has not yet come. You will not touch me. And he walks right through the middle of them, and he's gone, you know. We were just there not long ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. We were right in that area in Nazareth where he did that. Nazareth is very hilly, and there's a high cliff up there. It's like, whoa. You know, so anyhow, nothing natural, all supernatural, except there's a little limit to this, because the scripture says he was God, he was fully human and fully God, both at once. So when you think supernaturally, I don't want you to think about like TV, you know, mysteries or I don't know, sci-fi or something like that. Or The Exorcist or something weird like that. Really, the supernatural is, it's not in place of the natural, it's an extension of the natural. It takes us beyond the limits of the natural into the supernatural realm. You know, some scholars like to call it the hidden realm, or it's a realm that's beyond our normal perceptions, but not beyond our spiritual perceptions, except we have to learn how to use those. We have to learn how to live and experience life supernaturally as well as naturally, in the spirit and in the flesh. That's the challenge of what we're about. That's where we're at with this. So, you know, in the beginning, I just read this the other day in one of Derek Prince's writings, if you're familiar with him. He put it, God made humanity, the human, out of the dust, out of the soil. He made us out of the soil. That's that, you know, in modern parlance, you might say he made us out of molecules and elements. But biblically speaking, we're made from the ground, from the earth. In fact, the Hebrew word for earth is Adam. And so he made Adam from Adam. But Adam didn't come to life until God breathed on him and in him, put his breath into him. And so, you know, the earth became what the scripture calls the nephesh, the soul, or a living being, when God breathed into him. And Derek Prince was explaining, here's a cool way to think of that. He made us out of the earth so we would be profoundly humble. So we would really be humble because we have this treasure of the supernatural, of the spirit realm, of God himself in us, Christ in us. We have that in earthen vessels. This is the earthen vessel. And so God's plan from the beginning was that we would be dependent upon him. From the very beginning, he made us in his image and likeness to be dependent upon his breath of life in us. And when we're born again, he repeats that process. He enters into us through the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. He enters into us and we come alive in a new way. Now we are connected with him in the way that he wanted us to be connected from the beginning. And the one little wild card he put in, I think God was up there thinking, I'm going to try this. Have you ever, like, painting one of these pictures or trying to write a poem, or maybe it's just your gardening and you're thinking, I think I'll put a seed over here, a couple seeds over here, or I'll, you know, maybe, how about you like to cook and you're wondering whether a certain spice would be interesting. You just kind of, I'll try it. And it doesn't always work, right? I mean, I've been there more than once. But when it does work, it's like, that's cool. I think God did that, and he was saying, okay, I've got this thing. It's made out of the earth here. I've breathed my life into it. I'm going to add a little spice. I'm going to give it free will. When he made us in his image, he was giving us, he was imparting us the power to create through our will. Now, just people who know me know I love to teach on creation. Every act of creation is a decision. It's a decision. I'm going to do this, not this. Everything you create, I don't care what it is, whether it's the dinner table or a new business you're building, you're making decisions all the time. We're going to do this, not that, this, not that, this, not that, this, not that. It's a decision, decision, decision. So that's God in the first chapter. It's Elohim. It's God the creator, the God of judgment, because he's always making those decisions. And then in the second chapter of Genesis, he comes along as Elohim Yahweh. Yahweh is the God of compassion and mercy. If you read the second chapter of Genesis, it's no longer about creation and judgment and making choices. It's about God with us, God coming in and walking with us. He's walking with Adam around. He's going to figure out what he calls the animals, and he's walking in the cool of paradise with him, and you see God right beside him, and that's what God wanted. He wanted to be close with us. We just went through that for Christmas. Who was born? Christ child was born Emmanuel, God with us. Remember that? Remember that name? That's one of my favorite names for him, because that speaks of what God's heart was. But he gave us this little spice called free will. Anybody in here ever made a bad choice? Yeah, that's free will for you, isn't it? Don't you just love learning by experience? That didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. Hey, that worked. Cool. But here's the neat thing about learning to live and walk supernaturally. We begin to partake of his divine nature. That's what the Bible actually says. Through the promises of God, we are enabled, we are literally given the capacity. There's a wonderful word in the New Testament. He says, he tells the disciples, when you go and wait for me, I will send the helper, and he will give you power to become my witnesses to the world, is essentially what he's saying. That word for power, it literally means power. It's dunamis in the Greek. It's the same word we get dynamite from. So you're talking about some serious power there. But it has another meaning in the Greek, which is the capability or the capacity. So when the Spirit comes into us, when that breath of Christ, breath of God comes into us as human beings, when we are literally born again, something happens. And here I'd like Steve to come up and give us an example of what that looks like. Where is Steve? Here we go. This is what our friend here is going to illustrate, and then I'll explain it a little bit. I guess I have to hold the mic because you need two hands. Or can you hold the mic and do this? Oh, you can? Okay. Okay. So he's going to show us. How many love Transformers? Yeah, I know. I got my son one. It was one of the early Japanese ones. It was all made out of metal. Just start transforming. But what are we looking at here? There's a little, you see his head. So he's fully human, okay? He's fully human. But when God shows up, don't worry, Steve. Nobody's confused. Oh, he's coming apart. Have you ever felt like you're falling apart a little bit? You had days where everything's just coming apart? Once. Rod said once. Okay. Ooh, he's really coming apart. You know, there's that scripture, if your right hand offends thee, cut it off. I see. I know, but it's so fascinating to watch how this thing fits together. So God wants to transform us just like this. That's the message here. And he wants to turn us from simply creatures of the flesh, creatures defined by our limitations in the flesh, into something supernatural, right? Whoa. Just think, you might have a rocket in you. These were some prophetic pictures painted last night that I picked out because they sort of impressed me. This is just after the rocket takes off. That's that one. Or maybe you experience transformation more like a whirlwind. Somebody made this last night. Big whirlwind. This is a colorful whirlwind. How many know not all color, whirlwinds are colorful? Some of them are kind of bleak and dark and very unpleasant. This says, anything that tries to come against you in this next season will be like dust under your feet. Nothing can withstand against God's love in your life. How about that for a good word? Yeah, transformation. We're talking about transformation. For some others, this is what it looks like. A flame. Has anybody walked through a little fire this year? Just a tad. Don't be boastful about your fire now. Yeah, life can be like that. This one says, I'm giving you a new passion for me, a new fire in your belly. How about that? A holy fire. We're used to walking in a fire in the world, but God wants to put a controlled fire within us. That's the supernatural life. Holy Spirit just pouring out of you like never before, bringing hope and new vision in all the areas of your life. And in those places, no darkness can reside. Get ready for a new freedom and excitement. Amen. That's a good word. Now, while he's transforming, taking a break. Fully God and fully man. Tell your neighbor, you're fully God when you're surrendered to him. You're fully God. That sounds impossible, right? Doesn't sound right at all. Yeah. He didn't agree either. But you've got God in you when you're surrendered. How about that? Does that sound better? A little more biblical. I'm good. What's happening down here? This is sort of like the gifts of the Spirit, but different. What's happening here is that little head that you saw, that tiny little transformer guy, is becoming a weapon of war. How many know we are in a battle? We are in a real battle. It's really important as we enter the year that we get a perspective on this. Here are a couple quotes that I picked up. How many have read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Anybody read that? C.S. Lewis, the author of that, said this: there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. How about that? He said, this is the guy who wrote this beautiful children's book series. Our leisure, even our play, is a matter of serious concern. Something to think about as we enter a new year. Derek Prince said, we must meet every evil with a good that is more powerful than the evil that confronts it. The only power capable of overcoming the devil is good, and the only source of such goodness is God himself. And God made us carriers of his image and likeness. There you are. There's an ultimate warring machine. There's an ultimate warring machine, so keep that in mind. Would somebody help me here by handing out these little cards? So the question becomes, how do we walk out this supernatural life? What does it look like? And that's such a big subject. That's a subject you're going to hear us talk about here again and again and again, because it has to be brought down to the detail. It has to be made practical. It has to get into the nitty-gritty of life. And that's why we're offering a series of courses that we offer. But again, I think it's helpful as we enter the year to have a big perspective, an overview of what this is really, what's going on here. So we know we're involved in this supernatural conflict. And I'll give you a secret to this that may help you understand something this year. the real battle, there's all kinds of ways to consider the battle of good and evil, but I like to think of it this way. The real battle is a battle for our imaginations. Now think about that just for a minute. You know, you turn on your TV or you go online, what's going on there? You get a gazillion images a day, little 10-second ads online, 30-second ads on TV. They're all very imaginative. They're going after your mind. They want to grip your mind. In fact, they designed Facebook to trigger your endorphins. They designed it so that you would be hungry. You could imagine more. You could picture what other people were doing, and then you wanted to be like them. You wanted to do that, and you begin to work in your imagination that, guess what? You're not controlling. They're controlling. Advertisers have known this forever. They just want a piece of your mind. First, they look for your attention, and then they want to work their images into your mind. They're taking up space in your imagination, but God designed that imagination. Someone has called it the canvas of our faith. Our imagination is where God wanted to put his plans and his hopes for a future for us. He wanted to put his truth and his pictures of reality in our minds so that we could begin to imagine a different kind of world, so that we could go out and help be co-labor with him, is the language that we like to use in the church, co-labor with God to bring forth what he's putting in your mind, in your imagination. And here's the amazing part about it, the scripture, I think she had it on this morning, or she quoted it, he is able to do more than we think or imagine. God is able to do even more than we think or imagine, but he'll still use our imagination to put that in there to point us in the direction where we're to go. And so you have a sacred obligation as a child of God to guard your mind. The scripture says, keep your hearts and minds. You know, it's guard your imagination. You know, there may be times when you have to look away from some ads. There may be times when you just have to turn it off in the fast that's coming up, maybe a good fast. I've tried to turn off my stupid cell phone. I just love going on there and either finding sports scores or what's going on in somebody's war somewhere or what the president has said or not said and whether I can laugh or not or cry and all the false charges and all the real charges until you don't know who's charging whom with what and what's real anymore. Am I right? Do you know what I'm saying? So you may need to turn that off, to guard your imagination, to let it be cleansed somehow so that God can put something. You know, Paul wrote, I pray that God will enlighten the eyes of your heart. That's your imagination. Paul was praying, and that's my prayer for all of us, myself included, that God will enlighten the eye of your heart in the coming days, weeks, and months, and that this isn't an end once and done deal. This is an ongoing deal. And as you learn to guard your heart and mind from all the stuff the world wants to pour into you so that they can get what they want and leave you with what? With a credit card debt. So that you can guard against that, and there's space in your heart and mind for God to lead you to do something that you never dreamt that you could actually do before. Like put your hands on somebody and pray and they would be healed. How about that? That's more than you can think or imagine. Anybody here think you can heal somebody by putting your hand on them? Just think about it. But Christ in me can do it. And these cards are what I've given you just with three little favorite verses of mine that I want you to sort of keep. I put this in a business card form so you could kind of keep it in your billfold or somewhere. And these are three of my very most favorite scriptures that sustain me in the supernatural life that I live. And I do live a supernatural life. God is leading me in amazing ways to places that I never dreamt. And we go there and we lay hands on people and they get healed. Or they feel like somebody has read their soul, and then they weep when Jordy plays her harp or when we speak a prophetic word and we get a chance to bring hope and encouragement and faith for life to them. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Let's say that together. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I've thought about that a long time. I remember coming into this church building literally about probably about 20 years ago. It was very nearly when the new building was here. I was on fire that morning. I just came in Sunday morning. I walked straight up to Pastor Peter, and I said, "Pastor Peter, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." I didn't even say hello or good morning. I just said that. And my eyes were like, you know, I was like, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." He looked at me. He was kind of, and then he smiled. He said, "Yes, yes, yes." I'd gotten something. But it's taken me 20 years to figure out, what did I get? You know, what does that really look like? Well, here's one way to translate that. I depend totally on God and pursue his call in my life. It's no longer I who live, but I recognize the dependence that he put in me from the beginning when he breathed life into this bag of bones, and maybe it's dry bones for some of us. When he breathed life into me and I came alive in Christ, I depend on him, and now I'm after his call on my life. I had no idea what his call on my life was when I had that experience, but I knew I wanted it. The second one, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Can you say that? Christ in me is the hope of glory. You know, that word glory is wonderful. It means something. The Hebrew root of it, it was in Greek here, but in the Hebrew it would mean something weighty, something of great value. Christ in me is a hope of something weighty that matters, of great value in my life. How many find yourselves filling your time with things that aren't very weighty, aren't very valuable? Maybe they're even weightless. You know, you get done. I mean, I can easily spend an hour on it. I don't do Facebook much, but I like to go in and look at it, and an hour's gone by, and I'm done. I'm thinking, what did I just do? I just blew off an hour here, and I don't even remember whose Facebook page I looked at. Like that. It's gone. It's not weighty. It's not valuable. So what does that mean? Christ in me is the hope of something weighty and valuable. I embrace inner transformation so God can transform the world through me. Just as that transformer started out with two legs, and you have two legs, how many know you can't stand very long on one leg? So you can go in your room and learn to pray and give up food and give all your money to, you know, the poor, and you can be this saint, you know, this hermit. And I tried that. My wife will tell you I spent about 5 years thinking I should go in a monastery, and she kept laughing at me. I'm for real. She finally got me to laugh a little. I used to think, oh, no, she just doesn't get it. She must not be very spiritual. Then I discovered, oh, I have another leg here, which is a leg in the world. One leg in the outer reaches of the hidden realm, but another leg that I can't get out of the world no matter what I want to do. And if I actually want to move forward on both legs, I got to have both legs functioning. And in the world and realm of supernatural transformation, one leg is that being changed on the inside, transformed on the inside. The favorite verse is Romans 12:2. You know that verse. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word mind there doesn't mean your thoughts. It means your heart mind. It's a double meaning. It's a bigger thing than we usually think of as. It's not just thinking. It's the mind that together with the thoughts and our emotions it's the realm of the eye of the heart where the imagination is. Be renewed by the transforming of your what you're imagining, what you're allowing into the eye of your heart, into that secret place on the inside where God gives, he speaks to us and he reveals visions and pictures and dreams and things to us. And if you get into that realm, I know some people in this room have a real gift of dreams. How many get dreams that you know they mean something more than just the dream and something more than pizza? So look at that. That's probably 60, 70%. That's that realm I'm talking about. So I embrace inner transformation. That's that realm there. But it's not just so I can live in that realm in a, like a hermit somewhere and stand on one leg. It's so that I can go into the world with the other leg. And wherever I go, God in me, Christ in me, is the hope of glory that other people can see on my life. They see something weighty. I can walk into a grocery store and not look at anybody, and everybody will turn and look at me. I've had it happen multiple times, and I'm going, whoa, what are they seeing? You know, it's like, whoa, what are they seeing? And it's like I'm looking at myself. I remember, I won't go there. That's a whole other story. I was at someone's deathbed, and when they died, I looked around to see if I could see where they went. I was just looking all over in the room. I couldn't see a thing, but I knew that they were still present in that room. So that gets spooky, but that's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is wherever you go, you bring more hope than when you came. Amen. Did you hear that? Wherever you go, say, wherever I go, I bring more hope than when I came. People can see that on you. And the world, how many know the world, this hopeless world we're living in, where depression has become the common cold of the soul, that world needs people who are overflowing with so much hope that they catch it. That instead of catching the cold of depression, they're catching an infection of hope. We need to be an infectious people carrying hope wherever we go. That's outer transformation that goes with us. And then as you acquire skills, that's the next one. Let's do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the way I interpret that, I actively partner with God to sharpen my skills to be a powerful witness for Jesus. There is a burden on us. This is not a labor of works, but it's a labor of love. You know, the scripture says, study to show yourself approved. The scripture says, faith without works is dead. But there's a learning. There's things you can do to sharpen your spiritual senses. There are things you can do to cleanse the eye of your heart so that God can put his pictures on there. You can confess your sins one to another. You know, I'm not saying go to a stranger and confess your sins. You don't do that randomly. You have to find a trustworthy person. But there may be some things that you have to unburden. We have a ministry here. It's not terribly active now, but we have numerous people trained in a SOZO ministry. It's an inner healing ministry. We used to do a workshop called Restoring of Innocence. How many have some innocence they'd like to have restored in their lives? Amen? Well, God can do that. It's not magic. It's just simple. It's just simple. You get together with somebody that really can pray with you and talk to Pastor Hannah and her team about this, that can really pray and help you hear God or see God. You might see a picture, you know, all kinds of ways that he communicates with us. You can sharpen your ability to perceive that. Every single one of us has that ability built in. What activates us is when you surrender your life to Christ, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When you recognize that Christ is your only hope of glory in this life, and you have so much of it that it's spilling out of you, and now you can go out and partner, because I've actually spent some time, I've taken time to dig into the Word. Here's a secret that's really interesting. You know, the word obedience. We're taught to read the Word of God and obey it. And in real time, that can become hear the Word of God in real time and obey what you hear. But that word obey and obedience in the original Hebrew, actually its root meaning is to listen. It's not about power and doing what I'm told or obeying a bunch of rules because they're rules. It's about hearing what the purpose of those rules, hearing what the Word of God is saying. And the scripture is so full of conviction about the power of God's word to create and to change things that the understanding of the scripture is, if you hear God at all, you will obey because you won't want to do anything else. It's not a rule. It's not because he's some supernatural power and he's saying, you better do this or else. It's just real simple. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the living word, the logos. You know, John wrote at the beginning of the book of John, I know I'm running over, but I'm going to end up, and it's the first day of the new year, and you all can just spend five more minutes. I know. I know that. And there's plenty of food left, so you'll probably be here another at least 20, 30 minutes, so I get five more minutes of it. Okay. Because I'm going to be gone for a couple months, and then I'll be back. But anyhow, are you getting this? This is just like a big overarching view of what we're about here. We're after the supernatural life, not just any supernatural life, the supernatural life of God above, who sends us his expression, Jesus, his word. Jesus is the living word. He sends his expression to us in human form to show that you can do this as a human. This isn't beyond your reach. This is part of every single person in the flesh that's ever been made. The ability and the capacity to contain my spirit and let it come through them and be transformed on the inside and begin to change the world around you. You want to change the world? Be changed on the inside and become the change you want to see out there. Do you see it? Spend time sharpening your skills. Partner with God. Okay, well, two legs, inner transformation, outer transformation. You know, some people have come up to me and say, do you think God's punishing the world because of all that he's doing right now? I say, no, I don't think that's what he's doing. The world has just experienced the consequences of not doing what they were supposed to do. You know, what do you expect? He's been trying to get our attentions ever since he created the whole world. Excuse me here, but I've got this little runny nose thing. He's been trying to get our attention from the beginning. When the world starts shaking, you either blow up with it or you turn your attention back to your Father in heaven. Or you turn your attention to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. Or you turn your attention to Holy Spirit, God in three forms, three expressions. You say, Holy Spirit, I need you right now. Come into me right now. Help me see what I need to do here. Father God, help me right now. Or maybe all you can say is, Jesus, 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 only in the good way, not the bad way. The world uses that word to curse probably more than any other single word in any language at all. But when we use it and our hearts are drawn to him, when we understand Jesus is our brother, our friend, and you say, Jesus, he hears. He hears and he answers. So as we go into 2023, as we begin to walk out a year that has a lot of unknowns in it, and we may see more conflict than we've seen yet, I really don't believe we're in the end times, like the end of end times, because I believe the scripture depicts a few more things that are supposed to happen before Jesus comes back, but we don't really know. But it sure feels like we're near the end times, right? It can feel like that because somehow the whole world is in this at once because of the stupid internet and airplanes and everything else going on. So you don't have to go ballistic. You don't have to launch our atom bombs yet. We just have to keep turning to Jesus. Let him work on the inside and let him work through you to work on the outside. Become the change that you want to see in the world. I think that's really the heart of what I needed to say. But I'm saying it in hopes that you'll remember the transformer here. He stood on two legs and he became a warring machine. And God has purposed that we would all become not warring machines, but people capable of overcoming evil with the good that he's put in our hearts. And our battle is not with flesh and blood. You remember that verse in the Bible that says we don't do battle against flesh and blood. They're not carnal, is the common translation. We're not out to duke it out. We're out to overcome evil with good by opening our hearts to the good, guarding our hearts and minds. This is a time and an age where we really have to learn how to do that. There's a practical skill set to doing that. Turn it off. Stop with the whatever. And I'll just say this is my final word. Something that I have really been walking in recently, because how many have a thorn in their flesh? Little things that come up, that a little desire, a little inability to resist certain temptation, whatever that might be, food or whatever it is. And when it's my 77th year. And so, yeah, it's a great year. It's a great year because we're in the year 2023. Now add up the numbers in the year 2023. What number do you get?
Seven.
Biblically, seven is a year of completion. And so I see this as a year for some of us who are going to be completing a season of life and embarking on a new season. There may be some radical change in that. There may be something new that you couldn't imagine before, because he's able to do more than you think or imagine. But it's a year for that kind of transition. And I don't know. I guess I could keep going, but I know Hannah's sitting here saying, Dad, you just need to drop the mic. I want to pray a blessing. I'm going to say this before I do it. I actually think we're to spend a couple minutes just wherever you're seated praying for each other. I'm going to step out here a little bit. But I'm going to pray a blessing, and then I think let's just take a few minutes and pray for one another, because some of you have to activate your prayer muscle. We need to activate our prayer life in this year. We have to understand that we can step into a prayer thing immediately. I found myself, when I was feeling tempted by certain things that just afflict me again, that run through my imagination, and I go, I'll even shake my head, no. And I realized God was saying to me, no, that thing has no power. It's dead in you, because you are dead to yourself. You no longer live. Christ lives in you. And you, Tom, have the ability to say no, to just let go and move on. It's not a struggle. It's not a struggle. It's just let the Spirit of God rise up in you so you say no to whatever you need to say no to. Fear, worries, vain imaginings, stuff that runs through your head, disappointments, stuff you did 25 years ago that's still coming into your mind. Just say no and move on. Just say no and move on. You don't have to belabor it, and you don't have to say, oh, I can't. No, God, how are you? Please help me, oh Lord. You just say no. It's like a dog or a cat. We got cats that we say, just no, get off there. You don't sit, hey, maybe you should think about getting up there.
The cat doesn't go off, though. That's what he's not saying, but that's
yeah. Tried three cats. I'm saying that because here's my blessing. Father God, I thank you for all those gathered here today that have heard what you've given me to share, Lord. And I pray that you imbue your life, impart your life into the words according to each one's ability and metron of faith, their measure of faith, Lord. You're not making us all look alike, but you're all making us to be alike in you. Be supernatural, full of your goodness, so that we can become war machines for your goodness in the world today. Father God, we confess that we have fallen short in so many ways. We could all write lists, I'm sure. But you already know that. You're just waiting for us to say yes. And so this morning, Lord, we say yes to you. Yes to Christ in me. no longer we who live. Yes to Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes to the strength that comes from you. All we have to do is turn to you and receive it. Bless your people this year for the year ahead. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.